Thank you, Dom. Well, here we're here at the New Sydney Zoo in Western Sydney. What a place. I mean, if you haven't been here before, you have to get out here. Forget Taronga, forget the other ones. It's Western Sydney. We're bringing tourism to Western Sydney. That's what we're doing.
It's an incredible place here, that's for sure. It's very, very flat. It's overcast today, but it's quite nice to walk around and check out all the enclosures. It's great.
It is. We've been here for maybe just coming on 2 hours. It's our turn to have a chat now, which is great. A great honour. We're here with David Kirshner, who is the curator of reptiles here at the Western Sydney Zoo. He's with us. How you going, mate?
I'm going really well, thanks.
That's good. So, obviously, first, the first question, reptiles. Why reptiles?
I've had a passion for reptiles since I was a child. My earliest memories, they've always been my favourite animals, and I can't really put a finger on why that is. I just find them really fascinating.
You didn't have a fear of any reptiles growing up?
I've never had a fear of any. Actually, I haven't had a fear of any animal.
Really? Never?
Caution, yes. Fear, no.
Caution, exactly. Yeah. I mean, speaking personally, and I know you probably think from being around reptiles most of your life, that there's no need to be scared. But for me, my greatest fear is snakes. My greatest fear is snakes. And I, you know, can't do anything near them. I completely fold. I completely, you know, go back into myself. I'm sure you come across a lot of people in the same situation being afraid of snakes. Should people be afraid?
No, they should be cautious. I think actually if you're frightened of a snake and you encounter a snake in the wild, you're far more inclined to get bitten if you're frightened, because you're going to be act erratically. You're going to be jumping around and everything else. If you're really calm and just watch the snake, it'll just crawl off. Most snakes just want to be left alone. All snakes want to be left alone, actually. They were way too big for them to eat. And it's a threat to them when you have something that's several hundred times their size approaching them. So it's fear that makes them bite.
Now, it is rather intimidating. I know, living in Western Sydney, going walks in bushlands, you do obviously see them. When you say you leave them alone, how far away should we stay away from a snake? As far as possible? Or I know some people want to try and get close to get a good look at it. Stay as far away?
Well, snakes give you plenty of warning when you get close. You can tell when you're getting too close if it starts to rear up or flatten out or any of those sorts of things. Like a brown snake will rear up, a red-bellied black snake will flatten out. Usually they take off before you get too close anyway. Mm. But quite often the best thing to do is just to stand still. Once a snake realizes you're not a threat, it'll just go around it, do its own thing. And you can actually get an opportunity to watch them forage for food. Or if it's frightened, it'll just move away.
Of course, of course. And so here at the zoo, here at Sydney Zoo, how many enclosures do you have in the reptile area?
So we've got 28 habitats that the public can see, plus the crocodile. It's separate from the reptile nocturnal house. We've got the largest reptile nocturnal house combination in Australia. And so we've got 28 habitats in there with reptiles, amphibians, and invertebrates, so animals without backbones. We've got insects and scorpion. And then we've got the crocodile. We also got animals that my staff look after which are not on display, which are, you know, sort of young animals that we're raising up, or, you know, if we've got breeding animals, we've got the opposite partner off display when we're not breeding them, or we've got spare animals. Yeah.
David, you've been here since the very start of Sydney Zoo, which has been coming on to 4 years now, is that right?
Well, I joined the team just almost 4.5 years ago.
Yeah.
And at the time, there were 5 people, so I was employee number 6.
Employee number 6.
We weren't here. We were in offices, first in Glazeville and then in Crow's Nest, and essentially the zoo was a plan on a piece of paper.
Gotcha. So you've been here right from the very start, 28 enclosures, including 29 with the crocodile.
Yeah.
What is the fan favourite? When you have all the people here, like today, it's a very busy day with a lot of schools, a lot of people coming out. It's, you know, surprisingly busy for a overcast day. When people come to your reptile enclosures, where do they go first? What's the place for everyone wants to have a look at?
The crocodile.
Why?
Part of the reason is because he's a big boy, he's a big animal, and it's probably of all the animals at the zoo, of all the large animals at the zoo, it's the one you can get closest to. We've got underwater viewing, so you can get really close, and quite often he loves to sit right against the glass, right against the acrylic, so you can see him up close.
We may have got a little bit of inside information about yourself, David. You're a bit of a fan of crocodiles yourself as well.
I could be, yes.
You could be. maybe a PhD in crocodiles as well.
I did do it. As you can tell by my accent, I'm from Canada originally, and I had a fascination with reptiles from a childhood onward, as I said, and so I came to Australia to do my doctorate with research on crocodiles, doctorate in zoology, and so that's what brought me here.
I'll tell you what, we're glad to have you here. Look, Dave, we're speaking to David Kirshner here at Sydney Zoo. Dom, back in the studio, we'll come back to you for an ad break and a song. appreciate you doing that back there. We'll be back with plenty more straight after this.
I was going to say to mention to him that he's forgotten one of his little snakes in the studio here. We've given him a name called a Livey, but I think he's got to come and pick it up because he was mucking around with Darren and the guys.
It did seem like they were good.
I think you didn't get the count right, mate.
Now, it did seem like there was a few snakes in the studio yesterday. Darren looked like he was having an absolute time.
Alive, he's loving it. He's just he's in the corner, cuddled there. He's loving it. He really is.
Beauty. Dom, we're back here. Thank you for your help.
No problems.
Mate, we'll take it back from here. Thank you so much. Here, Lee Maguire, Scott Frappell here, speaking with David Kirshen, who's the curator of reptiles here at Sydney Zoo. I'm telling you what, it's picking up the pace here. It's very busy.
Yeah, lots of people coming through, lots of schools, lots of people in general walking around. How many people do you get a day through here, David?
Well, we have to limit the numbers because of COVID.
Of course.
So when we're booked out, we get around 4,000 people a day.
A day?
Yeah, they'll be on a weekend. Yeah.
Wow, and you also do work with Variety and Ronald McDonald House here as well, which is fantastic to see.
And you've probably know that it's our first anniversary coming up this weekend, which is super exciting because a year ago today, we were madly trying to get everything ready for opening.
I can only imagine.
And so that's a really big thing, and we've got lots of big announcements coming up as well.
Looking forward to it. Look, David, just before we get back into the animal side of things as well and what you do personally here at the zoo, I'm sure you've been asked this question millions of times. We've gone through the most uncertain year that we've ever gone through, especially to do with businesses. How has the zoo, you know, because obviously animals have to be fed. You can't go home, you can't not come into work when you're taking care of other lives. How was COVID for the zoo?
Oh, it's been a really interesting time, to say the least. We reacted very quickly as soon as we got the news that there was a pandemic and we started talking about social distancing. One of the first things we did was split the teams into a Team A and Team B, and we had non-overlapping rosters, which meant one team was on for 7 days and then another team was on for 7 days. That way, if somebody goes down with COVID, then not all the keepers go down, because we have to make sure that we've got staff to be able to look after the animals. And we also stopped working out of a main office and we split the offices up. So we've got little demountables around the place. And so each of the animal departments has got their own office somewhere on site.
Gotcha.
And I'm happy to say mine's right next to the crocodile.
Oh, good.
Oh, beautiful.
I'm living the dream.
Of course. Look, getting back to the animal side of things, right? So you're with reptiles, very interesting set of animals. And obviously the first animals on Earth came from, well, I suppose were kind of reptiles in their own way. How closely related are the animals that you look after these days to dinosaurs from prehistoric times? Or is there any relation at all?
Well, the animal that's most closely related to the dinosaurs that I have in my section is the crocodile.
Yeah.
So crocodiles are cousins of the dinosaurs. There was a group of animals called archosaurs, and archosaur means ruling reptile. And that group of animals completely ruled the earth for quite a long time. So it was the dinosaurs, the crocodilians, and the pterosaurs. So essentially, the water, land, and air was all covered.
Mm. Right, right.
So the other animal that's actually even more closely related to dinosaurs than crocodiles that's alive today are birds.
Yeah, right.
So if you were to actually look at the genetics of a crocodile and the genetics of a chicken and the genetics of a lizard, the crocodile will come up closer to the chicken than it will to a lizard.
Wow.
No way.
Yes.
I wouldn't have thought that. No. To think that you're working so closely with a descendant or a relative of the dinosaurs, look, I don't think I could do it. I don't think it's for me, but hey, hats off to you, David. If you can get through it, well done.
Well, actually, this goes back to the question you had earlier about the fascination with reptiles. I think one of the interesting things is we haven't had a common ancestor with reptiles for a really long time, for a few hundred million years. And yet, and so try to understand an animal that is so foreign to us, I find really interesting.
Yeah,
I mean, we can relate to a dog because it's a mammal and it has a lot of stuff in common with us. Whereas a crocodile is just this entirely alien creature. And yet we still manage to communicate in certain ways. So we train the crocodile and the crocodile responds in certain ways. See, there is a level of communication there.
So can you take us through a day in the life? As reptile curator here at Sydney Zoo, what does your day look like from start to finish?
Well, no 2 days are alike.
Cool.
The reptile department is quite different from most of the other departments. When you're dealing with mammals, let's say you're dealing with primates, that's really labor intensive because they eat every day, they defecate every day, so they have to be fed and cleaned, and it's a constant thing. So every day is really hard yakka. Reptiles are really fiddly. So we've got a lot of different animals. We've probably got more habitats than any other department in the zoo, so it's a lot of fiddly stuff. So what we do is we break up the routine so that on different days we're doing different areas. And so the venomous snakes get fed one day and then something else gets fed another day, and that these enclosures get cleaned one day. And so there's this constantly rotating routine.
Dave, we're speaking to David Kirsten here at the Sydney Zoo in Western Sydney, a great location. Get out here if you haven't been here yet. David, you say you have, you don't need to tell us, but you obviously have dedicated staff who work under you, you being the curator. And I'm sure a lot of the people who have come to you starting to work didn't have an interest in reptiles, or I suppose they didn't know how to manage reptiles, how to go about animals in general, people in the zoo as a whole. How was it like seeing people come into the zoo and start working for you who have no idea how to come and behave around reptiles or animals? And then, you know, once they've been here for a while and you see them doing so well with them on a daily basis, it must be a very good feeling, I suppose.
Well, my staff are all experienced reptiles, but you do find people are coming into the zoo in other departments. They might be in, you know, some of the administration building that aren't familiar with all these animals. And what you start finding is after a while, they develop this real interest. And then they'll tell you that, oh, they were at a dinner party the weekend, and suddenly they became the animal expert because they're going, well, did you know, blah, 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 blah. And I find that really exciting. To me, I think that's as exciting as our visitors learning things about animals, because that passion is being spread.
Must be an amazing feeling.
When the animals first started arriving, the very first animal to arrive on site were the hyenas. And I've got this real love for hyenas. They're just fantastic animals. And I kept on saying to everybody, once the hyenas arrive, you are going to fall in love with them. And people are going, what, hyenas, really?
Now they're always at their enclosure.
And then when the hyenas arrived and everyone was going to visit them, everyone's going, hyenas are fantastic. Who knew? Yeah.
Right. So. Look, just one thing for the people listening at home, where we service the Hills District, Parramatta, Cumberland, for this radio station. Yeah. Obviously, we're in Western Sydney and we're coming into a very hot summer. That's predicted. And what comes with a hot summer is snakes coming onto the road, coming into people's houses. I know we touched on it before briefly about what to do in that type of situation if a snake is near you. You know, say if one comes into your house or, you know, near your house, if you're entertaining people around there, what is the best way to go about it? Do you completely go away, you go inside? Do you call somebody? Do you call a snake catcher? What is the best way to go about it?
There are quite a number of professional snake catchers, and your best bet is to get the snake catcher out there.
So never try to do anything yourself.
Not unless you're really comfortable with it.
Right.
No.
And I wouldn't recommend it for most people.
Yeah.
Not unless you absolutely know what you're doing.
Yeah. Well, look, David, we really appreciate your time here talking to us. Lee Maguire, Scott Frappell. What you're doing here is amazing. We appreciate all the work. And coming up to the first year anniversary of Sydney Zoo, such an important milestone.
And with Christmas coming, I should remind everyone, you can get gift vouchers.
You can.
It's fantastic.
Exactly. And you know what? Restrictions eased yesterday. I'm telling you what, life is returning slowly back to normal.
Yeah.
And a way to get back to normal is come to the zoo.
It's a great day out.
It's going to be a good place to be, particularly over the summer. It's going to be hot, but it's going to be fun.
Yes. And the Reptile Nocturnal House is going to be air-conditioned.
Oh, that's a good way to sell. It's a good selling point. Yeah.
The first place to go. Look, David Kirshner, thank you so much for chatting with us. Appreciate your time. Dom, we'll take it back from you in the studio.
Okay, boys, we'll get back to you very shortly.